All right, family, it is good to see you. I'm going to move this a little closer right here. Hey, man, I don't want to be too far away from you. Hold on. Hey, man. How are we doing this morning? Family, how are we doing this morning? Are you alive? Hey, man. Hey, man, I'm talking to the disciples of the Lagos International Christian Church. Amen. Amen. It is great to be with you this morning. I hope you enjoyed your week. I know we had a great Thanksgiving celebration at our home. It's an American tradition, but, you know, of course, we made it for the kingdom, amen. And so I appreciate my wife so much. I mean, she just decked it out. Everyone brought food. I mean, the food was there. I went to the kitchen. I came back. The food was gone. I'm not joking. Like, people would come in. There was like a whole plate of rice, like a whole, like, I don't know what to call it. I feel like it's like a cauldron or something. It was like a cooler of rice. I put it down on the table. I went inside the kitchen. I think I went to get some napkins. I came back. The plate was just there with, like, the spoon was just in it. And some rice hanging around. I was like, wow. Wow. But it was a great time just to share. I know we had such great friends there. So encouraged to have Dami and Chido's Day was there. Actually, you know, Dami's birthday was on Thanksgiving right there. So we didn't get a chance to wish her happy birthday. Encourage her, amen. Bro, Timmy Tolson was there. So it's so encouraging to see what God was doing. And so it was just a great time just to be able to share what we're thankful for. And to see how the kingdom of God truly has been moving because of the love and investment we put into it. Amen? Well, you know, family is something we value. Amen? And today I want to talk about the values of God. So the title of the message today, we're going to continue our series in the Gospel of Luke. We're going to talk about the values of God. Because we all value different things, right? If I were to ask you, what are some of the things you value, what would you say? You raise your hand. What are some things that you value in life? What would you say? Yes. Respect. What else? Yes.
Money.
Okay, yes. Peace. What else?
Family.
Truth. Yes. I said raise your hand now. Yes. 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 Yes, you.
Freedom.
What now?
Freedom.
Stephanie, the newest baptism. Come on, Stephanie. Career. Yes, Solomon.
Personal time.
The beautiful woman up front.
Her
daughter's ballet teacher. Oh, that's sweet. Sarah, you're welcome today. Amen. Yes, all the way in the back.
Relationships.
Okay. Amen. No, this is good. I want to really see what's in your hearts. Because now we're going to talk about the things that God values. Amen? So first thing, I want to show you a website. And bro, can you go to this website for me? This website, it's from Buzz Nigeria. So it's written by Nigerians for Nigerians. Are you ready? You got it there, bro? All right, he's coming. He's working on it. And basically, it's the top 15 things that Nigerians value. Now, I'm sure this shouldn't be any news to you, but I want you to see it for yourself. Let me know when you got it, bro. Are you ready? Is it there? Okay, amen. Now, number one, let me tell you the list while he's getting the website, because I want you to see it's not for me, okay? This is by Nigerians for Nigerians, okay?
All right.
What do you think the top 15 things Nigerians value?
Money.
Okay, hang on. Number one,
money.
Making money.
Yes.
Number one, top of the list, making money. Guess what number two is?
Sports.
Traveling out of the country.
Yes.
That's why they're Nigerians all over the world. Because they can't wait to get out. Are you with me here? Number three, funny enough, is religion. Oh, yes. Oh, they value their religion. Whether it's a ritual or a relationship, they value it. Number four, after money. Exactly my point. Number three is religion. Number four, guess what it is? Getting married. Number four. I mean, if we can't get married, how will we have children? Number five. Here we go. Amen. Okay. up. So, again, guys, this is Buzz Lightyear. I just want to make sure you understand. This is not by me. Number one, fast money, making money. The article is very funny. It talks about Nigerians are known to be very hardworking. But I tell you the truth, the only motivating factor is money.
Right.
Nigerians so much love money, they could do virtually anything to have it. A typical Nigerian would not mind doing all sorts of odd and foul jobs in order to make money. Money-making rituals and 419 are very prevalent in the country. Even in the world, they know. Nigerians are known for this. That's pretty convicting right there.
Yeah.
Number two, traveling out. Now, I want you to read, I want to read some of this, because the guy who wrote it is very funny. He says, tell a Nigerian you're taking him or her abroad and she continues to dance about till eternity, thinking of completely nothing else. Nigerians all believe there are greener pastures beyond the shores of the country. A Nigerian will fight tooth and nail to see he leaves the country, even when it's glaring that means he would put his life on the line. There is no part of the world where you'll not get to find a Nigerian. I mean, seriously. I just sound like famous people, like in Wales and all this stuff. Like, what are you doing in Wales? Australia, everywhere. Right? This has made Nigeria one of the most popular countries in the world. Number three, of course, is religion. Right? Nigeria, second most religious country in the world.
Wow.
You cannot sever religion from Nigeria. Even the traders. Now, the intense thing about it, mind you, they'll spend almost the entire day there.
Yes.
Question is whether it changes their lives. Number four, getting married. I want to read this to you. Hey, this is just my introduction. Hang on, come. Share this. Now, stop a second. Now, you notice how he's darker and she's lighter?
Yeah.
I'm going to get to that in just a second. Marriage is not just important to Nigerians. Marriage is everything to them.
Yes.
No matter what your attainments in life may be, if you're not yet married as a Nigerian, you have not arrived. They normally refer to it as settling down, meaning that if you are not yet married, you are not yet to settle. In other words, you are floating. This passion for marriage can be traced to Nigerians' love and attachment to family life. Even when a man has numerous girlfriends and is very much convinced he's not ready to stick to one sexual partner, he still insists on getting married. Same on the part of the woman. The greatest thing that will happen to her is to get married to a man. They cherish having a family to call their own, therefore to have it, they must marry. This is pretty deep, man. It was funny at first, but now you start to realize the values of a people indicate the character of a people. Now, again, this one thing is not going to determine all Nigerians.
Right.
But it is written by Nigerians for Nigerians. It goes on. The list continues. Extended family life. We can go on. It goes on. Culture. Keep going. Showing off. Is that convicting? Number seven is showing off. Let's see what this one says. Nigerians are very passionate about showing off their possessions and achievements. They'll show off their money, their phones, their shoes, their cars, and what have you. Even when these things are low quality. In worst case, they'll actually show off some things that don't even belong to them. It's like that picture I showed you one time with the Nigerian with like the security guard and the escort and all this stuff. He's got maybe like 3 million in his account or 2 million in his account. But he's got to have security guard, doesn't pay his salaries to his people. Meanwhile, you got Mark Zuckerberg walks around in a t-shirt worth $34 billion.
Wow.
Number eight, buying car. Yeah. Buying cars. Yes, I remember one time going to a hotel. This guy literally has like 8 different cars. All of them says ambassador on them. Yes, moving on. Flowing with the trending fashion. You gotta have the fashion. You gotta look good. Because that's part of the whole packaging. Number 10, sports. Mostly football.
Yes.
Yes. Number 11, work-free days, moving on. 12, cheap and free things, moving on. 13, music and dance. 14, schooling. Now, let me read this one. Go off a little bit. Right from time immortal till date. Immoral? That's funny. Immemorial. Memorial Day, Nigerians' parents are ever ready to sell all they have to sponsor their child's education.
Yes.
Fathers sell their lands to pay school fees,
yes,
while mothers sell their precious wrappers and jewelry to provide for their kids' upkeep in school. However, I intentionally use the word schooling instead of education.
Yes.
This is because presently most Nigerians value and love schooling more than they do education.
Yeah.
Everyone wants to be in school whether they have the abilities or not.
Wow.
They're just comfortable with the fact that they're in school. What they're achieving in school could be discussed later.
Wow.
Number 15, partying.
Yeah.
Express, as in taking shortcuts, as in cutting in front of the queue to get ahead and thinking it's smart. This is what they got. When I read this, I was like, no wonder. This makes sense now. When the buses cut us off, when no one wants to stay in queue because they think it's smart to cut ahead of everyone. I get it now. This is what they value. The last one is age secrecy. They love, no woman ever wants to tell their age.
Yay!
Amen. That's enough. Thank you, bro. Well, why do I share all that? Well, one of the big things that honestly, that is very concerning is how people value beauty. And I want to take just a quick second. And the reason why I'm taking time on this, family, is because you got to ask yourself, what do you value? Are your values really in line with what God values? All these things are all well and good, but what really has an eternal impact? One of the things that have been really sad, as an American coming to Nigeria, you know, in school, you know, you have African-American classes and people talk about Pan-Africanism going back to Africa. And you're like, man, when you go to Africa, you're going to see how beautiful they are. You're going to see the rich lands. You're going to see how they don't need to add anything. They're just beautiful the way they are.
No.
And then you get here. And you got the fake hair, the fake nails, the fake this, the fake that. And, you know, I'm like, you're beautiful.
Amen, that's right.
You don't need you don't need all this stuff as a value system to make yourself feel better. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying makeup's all in depth. That's not what I'm saying. Don't get me wrong. Although some people do put on makeup like it's a clown. But I do feel, though, as I was reading from the World Health Organization, trust me, we're going to get in the Bible. I'm just setting it up for you here.
Come on, bro.
According to the World Health Organization, it says, and this is like documented, World Health Organization, 77% of Nigerian women use lightening creams because of the false notion of colorism, i.e., the lighter color you are, the better you are. And there's this woman called Black China, who's a former stripper, now model, and now, you know, now they do something respectable. Okay, amen. She's now connected with White Nicious, started by this Cameroonian pop star, Denicia. And literally just yesterday, she started a new line in Ikeja where she has her whitening cream, and guess how much it is? $250. There is, literally, in this country, there is a market for this. You can't sell something for $250 and people buy it. And the scary thing is, you know, remember, colorism is prejudice against people who have darker skin tone and preferential treatment between those of the same race or lighter skinned. So, you know, when I come here, people are like, oh, Oga, Oga. I'm like, well, when did I become your Oga? You don't even know me. You don't even know me. Why are you calling me Oga? Gemma. You want something from me? I know it's what you want. I'm not stupid. Just because I'm American doesn't mean that we don't know how to fool people in the U.S. too, you know. Just to help you guys, if you ever struggle with this stuff, I just want to give you some quick facts. Turn to Luke 16. 77% of women. Now listen, my sisters, my maybe brothers too, amen. If you've ever used lightening cream, I'm not saying you're doing something demonic. I'm telling you that you're actually doing something that can hurt your body.
Yes.
That's true. There, you know, I was reading this report from a doctor. Skin bleaching products can be harmful to the kidneys.
Wow.
They can be harmful to the liver.
Wow.
and they make it difficult for wounds to heal because the skin is too thin, it's too fragile. When you use that whitening stuff, it actually messes up your skin. And there's no free healthcare like in the UK here to take care of you when your kidneys fail. And yet, Nigeria is one of the poverty capitals of the world, according to the UN. And so we shouldn't be engaging in that kind of nonsense. There's this, as I was reading the article, it said this girl, Stephanie, who lives in Lagos, here. Not this Stephanie. Oh, no. She was like, yeah, man, there's a lot of pressure in school. Maybe our teens are even dealing with this. There's pressure in school for kids to whiten their skin. This is real. We're talking about real stuff right here in church. Okay? And people are like, oh, you're dark skinned, so you're like a Coke. I'm like a Fanta. That's what they talk about. Let me tell you something. You understand, dark and lovely is awesome. There's actually a thing called dark and lovely. I remember when I was young. Okay, I'm coming. I remember when I was a young kid growing up, and I would see like people who are, you know, the Vanilla Brothers and Sisters, and they'd go out tanning, and they end up looking like they're orange. I'm like, why are you tanning? And yet you're prejudiced against our black brothers and sisters, but yet you're tanning to look dark like me.
Come on.
Are you with me here, fam?
Yeah.
We just need to love the way God made us.
That's right.
You are beautiful. You are fearfully, wonderfully made by the Lord. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Vanilla, chocolate, hazelnut, it's all good for the Lord. I just wanted to address that real quick. Besides the fact that a woman named Black China is not promoting a skin product named White Nicious. That doesn't even make any sense. Take a look here in Luke 16. Let's see what the Bible says. Amen. Now some of y'all looking at me like, Yeah. Hopefully this kind of woke you up a little bit. In Luke 16, what does the Bible say here in verse 15? The Bible reads, Jesus said to them, you are the ones who justify yourselves in the eyes of men. But God knows your hearts. What is highly valued among men is detestable in God's sight.
Wow.
Luke 16, verse 15. What is highly valued among men is detestable in God's sight. What are the things you value? Well, let's take a look. We're starting in Luke 16 today. We're examining the values of God. First point today. One of the key things God values, number one, is faithful stewardship when it comes to our finances. Now, I'm going to talk about this because when it comes to money, remember what was number one on the list? Making money, right? Making money is not a bad thing. The question is, are you a faithful steward with the money God has given you? And how are you using your money? Take a look at Luke 16, starting in verse 1. It says here, the parable of the shrewd manager. 16, verse 1. Jesus told his disciples, there was a rich man whose manager was accused of wasting his possessions. So he called him in and asked him, what is this I hear about you? Give an account of your management because you cannot be manager any longer. The manager said to himself, what shall I do now? My master is taking away my job. I'm not strong enough to dig. I'm ashamed to beg. I know what I'll do so that when I lose my job here, people will welcome me into their houses. So he called in each one of his master's debtors. He asked the first, how much do you owe my master? 800 gallons of olive oil, he replied. The manager told him, take your bill, sit down quickly, make it 400. Then he asked the second, how much do you owe? 1,000 bushels of wheat, he replied. He told him, take your bill, make it 800. The master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the people of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than are the people of the light. I tell you, verse 9, use worldly wealth to what?
Gain
friends for yourselves, so that when it is gone, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. Let's stop here. Let's examine this. So, we know it's a parable, right? It's an earthly story with what? A spiritual meaning. Okay, so, the rich man represents who? Represents God, of course, right? So, this rich man has this manager, and the manager represents who? You, us. Are you with me?
Okay.
And he goes on to say,
come on, bro.
Do you get advice and get help? Because what people do very often is they do foolish things without getting advice, and then they come back to the church and say, hey, help me, help me, help me.
Wow.
Why are you asking for help now when you never got advice in the first place?
Right.
And now you want the church to bail you out?
That's not right. It's not right then. Let's make sure we truly are faithful stewards of God's money. I'll show you one more scripture and we'll move on. Take a look over in 1 Peter. You guys got real quiet. Either you're tired or convicted. It's one or the other. 1 Peter chapter 4. Are we faithful stewards? Not just with our money, but with our time. With anything that we're using for God. I'm so proud of the church and just the ways that you guys have been using your talents. The music ministry doing an awesome job. I mean, guys, these guys don't get paid to do this, you know. These aren't professional musicians. These are guys using their talents to glorify God. Well done, guys. Well done. And let me tell you something. Nobody comes up here and sings or plays that they're not doing well spiritually. Unlike churches that will put anybody up there just to play because they play really well and they could be sleeping with their person the night before, we don't do that in God's house. Disciples will glorify the Lord. Are you with me here? And I can tell you this because I used to be one of those church musicians in secondary school that would be just as immoral, as evil, whatever else, but because I played well, they'd hire me in a second. We don't believe in that in God's kingdom. Everyone you see here is a strong disciple. When guys come up to sing, they sing, not because they're not even mad at us. They should know. No one's perfect, but the issue is when we come up in front, we're here because we're in good standing. That's the way it needs to be. 1 Peter chapter 4, what does the Bible read in verse 10? It says, 1 Peter 4, verse 10, each one should use what? Whatever gift he has received to serve himself. Come on, guys, we're a Bible church. Read with me. We're a Bible church. Read with me. That's why people get led astray, because they listen to the pastor more than the Bible. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to what? To serve others. Faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things, God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and power forever and ever, the church said. Amen. Family. Is what you're doing glorifying God?
Rich.
Are you using your talents to glorify God? You know, I appreciate everyone here who... Oh, bro, kind of welcome, bro. I know you're safe, but I'm glad you're here, man. Welcome. Do you use your gifts to be able to glorify God? If you're an accountant, you say, okay, how can I glorify God? Hey, can we do a career workshop where I can help people with their budgets? If you are a singer, hey, I sang, I got trained in singing. Can I help with the worship? Thanks, Tony. Okay. Whoever it is, whatever talents you have, tell me, right? If you have done plays, hey, I can write plays. How can I help with the Christmas service?
Hey, come on.
Are you with me here? How are you using your gifts to glorify God? If you're a good speaker, hey, bro, I can preach, I can teach. How can I serve? I could be a Bible talk leader.
Come on, raise
your hand. Are you with me here, guys?
Come on.
Guys, it's time for us to start using our gifts.
Amen.
Everyone in this room is gifted.
Amen.
Every single person. Even if you can clap, you can give praise to God. In finances to be able to help with church administration. Our sister Chica, a chef. I have to ask you. Are you using your gifts? And are you volunteering to use your gifts? Are you a faithful steward? Or are you burying your talents? Because you know the funny thing is, if you don't invest in God's kingdom, you'll invest somewhere else.
Yeah.
And you know what happens over time?
Wow.
Come on, bro.
And all of a sudden, you're gone. It's just a matter of time. Point number two, a benevolent spirit. We're not just to get to use our money to make disciples. We get to use our money to actually help people physically. You know, this is important because when we think of faithful stewardship, this is more of giving on a spiritual level, making friends, making disciples. Are you with me here? Using our contribution, using our resources to help inspire more people to know God. But I do also believe that as Christians, we need to have the heart to be benevolent in giving back to the poor.
Yeah,
come on. Galatians talks about that. That needs to be our heart to give back to the poor. Take a look at Luke 16. Luke 16. Now, Luke 16, starting in verse 19, is a very famous story of the rich man and Lazarus. And so let's read this together. 19. Luke chapter 16, verse 19. Are you there?
Yeah.
Let's read. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. Now, what's interesting here is that he was wearing purple cloth, meaning he was a religious man. Because purple is the color of religion, also the color of royalty, funny enough. So if you notice, like, when people, like, wear, like, real religious garb, they'll have, like, this purple sash around them or whatever. Yeah. So this guy was religious. Lived in luxury every day. Maybe that sounds kind of familiar with some of the pastors here.
Wow.
At his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores. Long as he looked up on the rich man's table, even the dogs came and licked his sores. I don't know about you, but that's nasty. I mean, dogs, they eat vomit, they do all this stuff. But, I mean, and the dog's tongue, it can be kind of rough, too. So, ugh. But even the dogs made his sores. The time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side.
All right.
The rich man also died and was buried. In hell, where he was in torment, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. Now, this is powerful. I wish I had time to show it to you today. To understand this from a theological component, Hades is called, or it says here in hell, Hades, it's called the place of the dead.
Yeah.
It's one big, just imagine one big area, okay? Now, within this place of the dead, you have punishment and you have paradise. So, like Jesus said, today you'll be with me in
paradise,
right? And other scriptures talk about even angels will receive punishment. So, in this place of Hades, until judgment day comes, where those in paradise go to heaven and those in punishment go to hell, there's this place right now. Now, let's keep reading.
Come on.
That's a little theological stuff that just goes.
Come on, theology, bro.
So then he goes on, he says, he sees Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. So he calls him, Father Abraham, have pity on me. And send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. Because I'm in agony in this fire. Would you say that all of a sudden his value systems have changed?
Yeah, we shifted.
I mean, he didn't say, hey, where is my Fanta? Where's my coat? Why didn't you give me a bottle now? Let's go. He said, listen, no. Dip the tip of your finger in water. And please, just I'll be grateful for just a tip.
Wow.
I'm in agony in this fire. Hell is real.
Yeah.
Punishment is real. Remember, punishment was made for the devil and his demons. Mm. And if we act like that, we'll end up going there too.
Yeah.
Verse 25. But Abraham replied, son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, while Lazarus received bad things. But now he's comforted here, and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and you, a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us. Now this scripture right here refutes Catholic false doctrine. So if you come from a Catholic background, this is good for you to know.
Come on.
What is it saying? He's saying, listen, between us and you, a great chasm has been fixed. Those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor those from here to you. So what is it saying? There is no purgatory.
Whoa.
You can't go light a candle and say, God, please help my grandma who didn't know you to now leave that place, purgatory, and come to be with you. Please, let me light like 10 candles. Mm-hmm. Do Did they light any candles here?
No.
The only one who was getting lit was... He's always getting lit up here. This scripture shows us there is no purgatory. You can't pray real hard and hope, okay, hopefully my grandma... No, once you're dead, that's it. Then you face judgment. But look what he says. He answered verse 27. Then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my father's house. For I have five brothers. Let him warn them so that they will not also come to this place of torment. Would you say his values have changed?
Yeah.
I guess he's not having chaplains and eating the goosey soup and munching on pomo and all that stuff. Now he's like, you know what? Let me tell you what's really important. I need you to go and go warn my brothers. That's where his value system has now gone. Yeah. Is he telling them, hey, listen, go get that job I told you about? Nope, that's not what he's talking about. Go warn them so they don't end up coming here. Abraham replied, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them. No, Father Abraham. See, even in punishment, he still thinks he knows better. You ever talk to people who think they know better? Yeah. It's like you show them the Bible, you try to make things clear, but their pride is going to lead them straight to hell. Because they think they know better than you. They know, not even you, the Bible. What goes on? No, Father Abraham, but if someone from the dead goes to them, they'll repent. He said to them, even if they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced even if someone rises from the dead. Of course, what is Jesus saying right here? He's eventually going to rise from the dead. And people still didn't believe. So what does this mean? If you don't listen to the word of God, it won't even matter if a miracle comes up. Your dead parent comes through the door right now. People will still want to believe what they want to believe. Family, let's examine this together. Well, what is this whole... Why am I bringing this up under a benevolent spirit? Well, because you look at this rich man, and it says here, dressed in purple, which means he was a religious man, but then it says, lived in luxury. The Greek here means gourmet feeding on exotic dishes.
Wow.
Gourmet. Any of you have a certain... what is it? Taste for the extravagant.
Okay.
You know what I'm talking about? You like nice things. Luxury. You almost think you're entitled to them.
Hey!
Right? So he ate awesome every day. Had his own chefs taking care of him. Didn't need to worry about anything. Just sat down. The chef brings out the food. Doesn't he need to go to Urbano, fight traffic, find parking, go inside, wait in the queue? None of that stuff. I know what that's like. I'm off a chef. We sit down, and so what do you see? Funny enough, Lazarus is the Latin version of Eleazar, which means God is my help. That's what Lazarus means. God is my help. And he was relying on God for help. He ate the scraps that fell from the rich man's table. He was desperate. And what happens? The rich man goes to hell, and Lazarus is in paradise. And this points out greed. It points out that greed is one of the reasons why you can go to hell.
Yes.
Come on.
Greed. And because why? The rich man drove by Lazarus every day, and he accepted the fact that this guy was a beggar and did nothing. You know, every day when I wake up in the morning early, I drive by to go to VI to train for my boxing class, or every other day. And I try to make it a point to give to the kids on the street. I know I can't do it. I can't save them all. But I try to give a little something. And in the back of my mind, I know why they're out here. The parents don't even care. They're just kind of pimping them out to go get money for them. But you know what? If I have water, I'll give it to them. Pass some extra, I'll give it to him. You know, sometimes I forget, sometimes I get distracted, but I try to give a little something once in a while. And I think, very often, what Satan wants you to do is to stop caring.
Wow.
Satan wants you to stop caring and become hardened to the world. The other pictures, Ray Girl? December 15th, we're going to be able to give back to our community. Amen. December 15th, we're going to be able to have a benevolent spirit. I'm sorry, apparently these things have gone bad on us, but I'm not sure if you're able to see. Hang on. That's four. So, for those of you who don't know, where's the other? There's the other. This is the principle that we're going to be working with for our emerging project. You're very welcome. I appreciate you. Tony met him originally last year. Started studying the Bible together. Many of us went over to Precious Gems School and taught the kids different things about the Bible and stuff. It was a lot of fun. Well, he'd been working at Precious Gems for about 7 years as his principal. And it's not like, it was only supposed to be two, right? And he's like, okay, listen, I gotta go. So now he's basically starting his own school. And in September, he started his own school, the real school, amen? $700K of his own money to build this school in Okobawa.
Wow.
And it's a, you know, the community, it's a sawmill area next to Makoko. It's a pretty indigent area. And so the next slide here. As you can see, the school actually can host children. Right now, he hosts children between 3 to 12 years old. And what's convincing about it is the fact that these kids, I mean, literally, he's charging maybe $6,000 a term.
Wow.
I mean, he's charging, if they can't afford that, 100 naira a day. And still, some people can't afford that. But he accepts them anyway. Right now, he has between 50 to 70 kids or so. That's a nice picture of the kids right there. Those who can afford uniforms. And so, next slide. We took a tour through the community just to see what things were like. And I think for us, sometimes we have to realize how grateful we need to be. I mean, you have the children lying here, right on the floor. The mother is over here doing sewing. And this other kid was just happy to see the other kid. Again, Gideon doesn't live here. He just decides to be able to give back to the community. Next. This is the filth that they live in. And, you know, I mean, they're hanging their clothes. This is the killer. And this is Nigeria, family. This is Lagos. This is Lagos. So while we're sitting here in air conditioning enjoying all the nice lights with the blue tint, they're sitting out here.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it's one thing when you talk about the parents and you say, oh, well, it's their fault, they were just that way. But no, what about the kids? And that's why we're able to do this, to give back to the kids. Next. As you can see, the disparity, you know, this is an area, they don't have, you know, public draining, you know, sewage, all that stuff. So this is where the kids go. And in the back, you can see the Third Mainland Bridge.
Wow.
I mean, that close to the Third Mainland Bridge. And you see the disparity, and yet the government allows us to continue. Next. That's a nice picture there. Yadun, Balaji, Tony, myself. Next. You know, one of the reasons why they call this place the sawmill is because people, investors come in, and they basically set up their shops. You know, they have the planks come down from Ogun City or whatever, bring it on in. And then they now come in and cut up their planks for whatever needs they have. Of course, the people there don't own this. They come, set it up, and give the people peanuts to make stuff for them.
Wow.
Next slide. So like this guy, he's taking the wood that has been cut and making brushes to be sold. Next. We travel more through the community, and you see like the condition. This is one of the parents of one of the children. You can't see this, but you have naked baby here. This shop will be the president, next president of Nigeria, right? But these are the conditions that they're living in.
Yeah.
Next. And so the goal of this time, December 15th, from about, about 9 until 11, we're going to meet at 8. But the goal of this time is that we're going to come together, and this right here is actually a church building owned by Ghanaian. And it's open inside, so we're going to be able to meet in there. And it's going to be a time really to give Christmas gifts to the kids. to be able to meet the elders, explain to them about the hard adversity that we have. For those of you who are guests today, the benevolent arm of our church is called Mercy Worldwide. And Mercy stands for M-E-R-Y, Maximizing Efforts for Relief, Care, and Beauty, worldwide. And so, we all wear a green Mercy shirt, and we have thousands of Mercy Ambassadors around the world, including different things we've done now, even in Phnom Penh, Cambodia, orphanage areas. It's incredible to see what God is doing. But we're going to meet here on Saturday and be able to give Christmas gifts to the kids. And so every Bible Talk, if you guys work to get just 5 Christmas gifts, we can take care. The 14 Bible Talks, times that by 5, we got 70 gifts for the kids. And so that way, we can develop not just, it's just not just a one-time thing we want to do for the kids. But the prayer is that now, recently we got a benevolence gift as well. So that now we're going to be able, prayerfully in the future, to provide some of the things they need. Such as chairs, such as textbooks, such as a toilet, like a mobile toilet. Yeah. Like they don't even have that thing. I'm trying to tell you what's going on here. And if Lagos is going to be the pillar church for West Africa, we need to start understanding what kind of role we have to really meet the needs of our community. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you very much.
Thanks. Come on, bro.
What kind of benevolent spirit do you have? As we give contribution today, ask yourself, why are you giving? Are you giving because you're a faithful steward? Do you really have a benevolent spirit? God wants to use you. James 4:17 says that the man who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it, sins. Sin of omission is still a sin, family. Yeah. Amen?
Amen?
And I think that's where we got to really start understanding that we need to have a benevolent spirit because God was benevolent with us. Mm-hmm. Are you with me here? God wants to use you in spite of how wicked we can be. Noah was a drunkard, yet God made him righteous. Abraham sold out his wife twice.
Wow.
And yet he's the father of us in our faith. Gideon had almost no faith, and God still used him. And David was an adulterer and a murderer, and yet still became a man after God's own heart. If you're struggling this morning in sin, you can change.
Amen.
Are you here?
Amen.
If you don't believe God can use you, that is a lie. In the same way God has turned many of us around, He can turn you around.
Amen.
And we need to have the same benevolent spirit to help change and turn around others. Because we're grateful for what we've been given. Amen?
Amen.
Do you accept that your neighbor is not right with God and just walk by them? The same way you walk by people who are starving. Do you accept that your family is not right with God? Or do you want to start having the heart to continue to give to them? You know, our sister Tina is going to be sharing with communion today. Her dad is in town. We're praying for him, amen. But, you know, we're praying that he could have been here today, amen. But she's going to continue to give. All of us need to continue to go after winning our families. And not start to shut down our hearts and get cold. I really mean it. Remember Matthew 24. Well, as we close out here, last point is simply a grateful heart. Luke 17. What are the things God values? Faithful stewardship of our money to be able to make disciples. A benevolent spirit to be able to give back to the poor and give back to our community. And a grateful heart. You know, if you take a look here in Luke 17, we're going to close out here in verse 11 to 19. The Bible reads here in verse 11 to 19. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going to the village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us!" When he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And they went, as they went, they were cleansed. Verse 15, one of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. He wasn't even a Jew. Jesus asked, "Were not all the 10 cleansed? Where are all the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well. Wow. I think there's no story in the Bible that expresses human ingratitude better than this. Like, you understand, I don't have to show the picture. Leprosy is nasty. Leprosy is a hand skin disease that, you know, you lose feeling in your nerves, and in a lot of ways, the sores after a while make your flesh rot. Because what ends up happening is because you don't have sensitivity in your hands, you can cut yourself, you can hurt yourself, and then because you don't feel it, it gets infected. Then it gets worse. And it was so bad and permanent that the only solution was to isolate these people. And sometimes people need to get isolated from the church because of a lack of gratitude. Sometimes people need to get isolated from the church because of discord or dissension. That's why we have to enact church discipline sometimes. We got to say, you know what? You need to take some time from the church because you're in sin and you don't want to repent. And until you want to repent, you can't be here. Sorry. Are you with me right here?
Sorry.
Take a look over in Numbers chapter 14. I want to show you something. In Numbers chapter 14, this is intense. You know, when you get ungrateful, you can start to get rebellious.
Yep.
You ever get rebellious in your heart?
Yeah.
You ever feel that way?
Yes.
And some people, they're rebellious outwardly. Like, they sin it up. You know, they miss things of the body. They don't give their contribution. That's all the outward signs of rebellion. Other people, they show up, but they don't give their heart. Mm-hmm. They sit there and look at you like this.
Wow.
Come on, bro. You're preaching in your heart.
Come on, bro.
I'm like, wow, would you show that face at the Arsenal game?
Come on, bro.
Would you show that face at your wedding? Would you show that face at your job? But yet you hear the word of God being preached. And you're like this.
Wow. Come on, bro.
Or worse yet, this. You may have been me on Facebook right now.
Come on, bro.
What does that show? A lack of gratitude.
Right.
A lack of gratitude for God, a lack of gratitude for His kingdom. And so take a look at Numbers 14 here. Because, you know, sometimes people rebel, and I want to show you this because it is deep. It says in Numbers 14, verse 1, there's nothing new under the sun, man.
Yeah.
That night, all the people in the community raised their voices and wept aloud. This is right after the guys came back from Canaan. And they said, oh no, we can't take Canaan's land. It's too much for us. All the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron. You ever have like a grumbling heart?
Yeah.
You ever feel that way?
Yeah.
You just want to grumble. You're just irritable. You're irritable and you're just mad. You want to take it out on somebody. Usually it's me. Or someone else. All the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron. And the whole assembly said to them, if only we had died in Egypt. Or this in this desert. Why is the Lord bringing us to this land only to let us fall by the sword? Our wives and children will be taken as plunder. Wouldn't it be better to go back to the world? Why do I have to spend all this money to go to church and get to VI? I don't even live in VI. Why do I have to give contributions? Why do I have to be committed? Why do I have to read my Bible every day? Why do I have to repent of sin? What's in it for me? What have I got?
Come on, bro.
Wouldn't it be better to go back to Egypt? Man, if I went back to the world today, I could find a boyfriend and girlfriend real fast.
Wow.
Yeah. If I went back to the world today, man, I wouldn't have to worry about my job meeting on Sundays. If I went back to the world today, and all that stuff starts going off in your mind. And then they said to each other, we should choose a leader and go back to Egypt.
Wow.
Yes, I'm tired of this. This guy, he's not even a Nigerian. Let me go to a Nigerian church. Let me start speaking in tongues again. Let me go to the church where everyone can do whatever they want to do. And no one will challenge me. And I can give as much money as I want out of guilds.
Wow.
Because no one's going to challenge me in my marriage. No one's going to challenge me to actually be committed to the Word of God. No, I just want, I don't want anyone to tell me what I want to do. I want to be Lord of my life.
Yeah.
I want to come into church on Sunday morning, sing my nice songs, and go home and do what I want to do. And you shouldn't tell me different. That's the kind of Christianity people want.
Yes.
Are you with me here? But you know what? Whether or not you listen to me today, when you stand before God, you'll find out. And I pray that you will not be like the rich man who thought he knew better. But look at what God says in this face of rebellion. Verse 5. I appreciate Moses and Aaron because they were humble dudes. Moses specifically. Then Moses and Aaron fell face down in front of the whole Israelite assembly, gathered there. Joshua, son of Nun, Caleb, son of Jephunneh, who were among those who explored the land, tore their clothes and said to the entire Israelite assembly, "The land we pass through is explored is exceedingly good. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into that land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord. And do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will swallow them up. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them." But the whole assembly talked about stoning them.
Wow.
Can you imagine? The same Moses that led them out of Egypt, the same Moses that led them through the Red Sea, all of a sudden, the people got lukewarm.
Yep.
Their eyes got taken off of God, and now they're thinking about the world again. Where are you today, family? Where are you in the story of Exodus? Would you act like these people?
Wow.
Because everyone said, no, I don't do that. Okay. Well, where's your heart today?
Come on, bro.
Do you go after the kingdom of God, or does someone have to pull you in tooth and nail?
Wow.
Do you take initiative? Do you want to be involved? Are you inquisitive? Do you want to know what's going on? Look at what God says. But the whole assembly talked about stoning them. Then the glory of the Lord appeared. I wish sometimes, just for a moment, God could just kind of pull back the sky and say, "Here I am.
Hey.
Listen to my son." And then, are you here? Look at awesome right there. You'd be like, okay, I'm sorry. But you know the truth of it is, God did all these amazing miracles, and guess what? They still listen. Sounds familiar?
Wow.
Look at what he says here in verse 11. Then it says, "Then the glory of the Lord appeared at the tent of meeting to all the Israelites. The Lord said to Moses, 'How long will these people treat me?'" You see, family, this is what we don't understand. When we get ungrateful and we are disrespectful to God's kingdom, we don't follow the, you know, we just get like a rebellious attitude, the Bible says it's worse than divination. It's worse than juju.
Yeah.
Here, he says, "How long will these people treat me with contempt?" When you're contemptuous toward the church or toward the leadership, you're contemptuous towards God.
Yeah.
What does he say? "How long will they refuse to believe in me in spite of all the miraculous signs I have borne among them? I will strike them down with a plague, and destroy them, but I'll make you into a nation greater and stronger than they." Now, what does Moses do? Does he say, "Yeah, get him, God, get him? No, he's not bitter. He doesn't take things personally.
That's right.
If you're in leadership, you can't take people's sin personally, because ultimately it's between them and God anyway. Moses said to the Lord, "Then the Egyptians will hear about it. By your power, you brought these people up from among them." Down in verse 17, it says, "Now may the Lord's strength be displayed. Just as you declare, the Lord is slow to anger, abounding in love, forgiving sin and rebellion. Yes! He does not let the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children for the sin of the fathers of the third and fourth generation. In accordance with your great love, forgive the sin of these people. Just as you have pardoned them from the time they left Egypt until now." The Lord replied, "I have forgiven them as you have asked. Nevertheless, as surely as I live and as surely as the glory of the Lord fills the whole earth, not one of the men who saw my glory and miraculous signs performed in Egypt and in the desert, but who disobeyed me and tested me 10 times, Now, one of them will inherit the land I promised unto their forefathers. No one who has treated me with contempt will ever see it. Family and friends, are we so grateful for the kingdom of God? Or have you started to get a contemptuous attitude? Disrespectful? Just you show up anyhow, do anyhow, live anyhow. Check your heart before God, my friends. Because when you stand before God, I will not be there. Prayerfully, I'll be in a ring.
Come on, bro.
But when you stand before God, there's no one else you can rely on. Where is your gratitude today? Do you believe that ungratitude is sin? Who here thinks ungratitude is sin? Okay, I'm glad you all said that, because you don't believe it. So I'm going to turn to 2 Timothy, I'm going to show you.
Come on, bro.
Do you think that ungratitude is sin?
Yep.
How many people honestly think ungratitude? Maybe I'm just making this up. You think so? You think being ungrateful is sin?
Yes.
Yes?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes.
How do you know?
2 Timothy 3:1-5.
Who are you guys? You guys sound like disciples. You know your Bible. 2 Timothy 3:1-5. Family, we'll close here and that's it. You know, in 2 Timothy 3:1-5, the Bible says here, but mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be what? Lovers of themselves. Here's the value system. Lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents. Come on, teens. And what's the next one?
Wow.
And what? How does God see that? Unholy, without love, unforgiving. You are bitterness in your heart. Slanderous, without self-control. Marcus is smiling because he remembered what he used yesterday.
Come on.
Right? Brutal, not lovers of the good. Treacherous, rash, conceited. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power. Have nothing to do with them. You see, God can't have fake Christians in his church. God can't even have lukewarm Christians in his church. He wants to spit them out of his mouth. Family, what does God value? Faithful stewardship. Where are your finances today? Are you, your investment in regards to building God's kingdom and making disciples shows where your heart is at. I'll tell you right now, what I saw with Deji through this whole experience.
Come on, bro.
And the courage that he had to do what was right. Brother Alvin, that's one of the things that when I see young men step up to really put God over money, I respect.
Come on.
Because it's something very rare to do. A benevolent spirit. I have to ask you, has your heart started to grow cold when you see the poor? You just stop caring. You start to accept the way things are. And remember now, sometimes we don't just accept it for the poor. We accept it in our own lives. We don't think things can change. Don't believe the lie of the devil. Amen, family? And the last one, a grateful heart. Are you still grateful for your salvation? Are you still grateful for the kingdom of God? Is it the kingdom and nothing else?
Come on.
Or is it something else that's starting to pull you away? I pray that as we leave here today, God, your value system will become more in line with God's.
Amen.
Remember, what is highly valued among men is detestable in God's sight. Let's pray, God, for what he deserves. Amen. Thank you, and God bless you.
Let's start, please.